Well, I've got a message to bring to you here that I believe will help you, that I have labored with the Lord in prayer, and I believe the Lord would have me to preach this tonight. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Father, Lord, I pray you be with us. Lord, we need this. We need this message so badly. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch our hearts with it. Please use it, Father, to your glory. Holy Ghost, please be all over it and immerse us with your understanding and your love and your power. Father, please give us that. We pray and ask in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Satan truly had a desire here to sift Peter. He wanted to sift Peter. His desire was to sift him as wheat. And we ought to pay close attention to what the Lord said to Peter and to not know this true strength of our prayers. That's the second part of this. I call this message Satan's Sifting and the True Strength of Our Prayers. We ought to pay close attention to what the Lord said to Peter and to know the true strength of our prayers. I believe it will be very profitable if we take a look at how Satan sifts the saints. I think it's important to understand this. So first, number one, we must look at Satan's desire for Simon Peter. I want you to understand that here tonight. Satan desired to have Peter. He wanted him. He wanted him. But for what reason? He wanted to kill him, I'm sure. Because he was a murderer from the beginning. And the father of it, right? He was a liar, and he abode not in the truth. Simon Peter was a very zealous man. See, Simon was easy to pick off. He was like, because he had the biggest mouth. He was very bold for the Lord. He made that profession of the Lord very, very early on. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Uh-oh. Right there. Satan was ready for him. He knew that Peter had the potential to do something enormous for Christ. You see, Satan cannot have Bible faith. He's so full of hate and rage that he desired to have Peter. He desired to do to him just like he did to Job. That's exactly what he did. And if you understand this, I'm going to explain this to you so you can understand it very clearly. Notice the words that he said here, that the Lord said to Simon Peter. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." What does that mean? It means that Satan went to God and said, "I want him. I want to sift him." Remember that? "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" I want you to pay attention tonight, because one of the problems is that you and I sometimes don't believe that Satan and his kingdom will come after us. "Oh, it must be all in our head. It must be just some thoughts. It must just be myself." No, friend, it's not just you. It's the devil that hates you. He's got a kingdom set up against you, and you are forever at war with him. And he hates your guts. And that's a good thing, even though it doesn't feel good all the time. Right? Simon Peter was a very zealous man. Right? Look in Job chapter 1, verse number 6. We see the same example in the book of Job. See, that's a second witness to that. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, now remember, every time God asks a question, he already knows the answer. He's just making them talk. Do you understand that? That's all he's doing. He knows the answer to everything. He's just making them talk. So that's why he asks the question. Right? That's the only reason why. He already knows the answer. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Then we see in Job chapter 2, verse number 3, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, that escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all the man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You see, Satan was sifting Job. That's what he was doing to him. Satan wanted Job. He wished to destroy Job. He hates the people of God, and he desires to destroy them. That's what he wants. He cannot understand how they tick. Really, he has a hard time understanding how they work, because he can't understand faith. He just can't get it. He didn't get it. He knows he wants to destroy it, but he can never have it. That's why he wants to destroy it. Right? He's never experienced Bible faith. So then he wants to have the people of God so he can destroy them. But more specifically here, he wanted to sift Peter. Notice also that Satan could not sift Peter or Job if he did not have permission to do so. I want you to understand that. So when Satan does come to sift you, he has the permission from God to do so. That's good. Amen. It really is. You say it doesn't feel very good. Why? Well, because you need it. That's why. Amen. Because we need it. But I want you to understand what that means. So we'll keep going here. He had to seek permission to touch the saints of God. So then God allows this to happen, and he's not surprised when it does. But that should give you great comfort. Great comfort should come over us when we see that Satan cannot do what he wants concerning us. We are God's children and bought and paid for by the blood of our dear Savior Jesus Christ, that Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. So then he cannot do with us as he wishes. God Almighty is there, and he knows all things. And he will not let Satan tempt us above that we are able, through his spirit to forbear. I will tell you what I have experienced in my life. One thing that I have experienced that goes along with the scriptures is this, is that I always pray, God, please strengthen me. This is happening, and God, give me the power to fight this, and you know the devil's sifting me and everything like that. And it's all true, and I believe that. But what I'm really praying is, God, just take it away. And God says, wait a minute, I've given you that power. You asked me for power, and you've not succumbed to the temptation. I've not given you over to the temptation. You have strength. I've given you the power to fight it. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not going to stop it right now. That's very hard to take. Because sometimes you just want God to stop it. But God says, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. I've given thee the grace that you need to withstand it. Now exercise it. You want me to make it all go away, and that won't teach you anything. Wow. You need the sifting. You do. You need it. Yep. Otherwise, God wouldn't let it happen. But the Bible says that God will make a way out, right? Amen. He always does. Number two, Satan wanted to sift Peter as wheat. Now then, knowing that Satan is our avowed enemy, and we will forever be at war with that Amalek, we must understand how much he truly hates us. He wanted to sift Peter. What in the world does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Grain was agitated or shaken in a kind of fan or sieve, right? The grain remained in the fan, and the chaff and the dust were thrown off. So Christ says that Satan desired to try Peter, to place trials and temptations before him. to agitate him. That was my next words. That's weird. Are you reading my notes?
No.
To see whether anything of faith would remain.
Yep.
See, Satan doesn't know. So he wants to come up and he wants to shake you up. That's what he loves to do. He says, how do you know? Because I haven't been doing a lot. I've had it for 2 months. Come and shake me up to see if there's anything left. And meanwhile, God's using it to get all the chaff off, to get all the dross off, to burn it all off. But Satan's going, oh yeah? And he's just shaking it like this. Shaking your mind up like that, crazy. Yep. Right? Lester Roloff told a story. I just listened to a sermon. It was God sent. I mean that. God sent it right to me. I was sitting on my phone driving today. And it was right there. It just popped up on YouTube. And I was like, I think I'll listen to that. It was called They Didn't Quit. It's 20 minutes long. He got to about the 12 minute. You need to listen to this if you haven't. From the 11:40. Have you listened to that one before? At the 11:40 mark, he says, I want to tell you about something that happened to me. He said in 1976, that was the year I was born, by the way. In 1976, he said he was sent to jail. He said he was sitting in a jail cell. And he said, for some reason, they allowed these prisoners there, these people in the jailhouse, to play rock music. And he said they were blasting that rock music. And he was sitting there, and he couldn't sleep. And it was just blasted. And he said Satan attacked his mind and said, I'm going to attack. He said he told him very specifically, I'm going to attack your mind, and you're going to go, by tomorrow morning, you're going to be on the 7th floor of the insane asylum. And you're going to be in a straitjacket and you're going to be out of here. And he said it was so specific. It was so specific, he said, that he knew that it was the devil attacking him. And he said he immediately dropped to his knees and he goes, I didn't have a big long prayer. I didn't have a bunch of fancy words that I said. He said, I just cried out to God, oh God, you got to help me because I don't want to lose my mind tonight. And I know what that's like because I've been there. I've done that. I've prayed like that. Because I've been shaken like that. I've had Satan come and shake me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be honest with you. I'm not ashamed of it. It wasn't my fault. I was just sitting there. but he gave... I didn't like say, come on and hit me or anything. It's just like I'm just like sitting there and all of a sudden it's like... Like, whoa! What was that? I'm not talking about bed shaking or anything weird like that. I'm just talking about... Okay, let me just preface that. I'm talking about up here in the mind.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
And spit all kinds of wicked thoughts and agitations to your mind and to agitate you. To throw all kinds of wickedness, things that you would never do, things that you don't believe, things that you would never hold to, things that you would never conjure up in your own mind.
That's right.
None of it. And just boom. Constantly. He said he did that. He said he dropped down to his knees and he prayed. And oh, did he pray. And he said, Lord, what am I going to do? And he said, the Lord told him, well, start singing.
Amen.
And he said, I can't sing. He said, sing. He goes, this guy, this rock and roll music is going to blast me out. He goes, you can sing louder than him. Just sing. And he said he started singing. And I forget the hymn that God said. Do you remember the hymn that he said? I don't remember it either. My grace is sufficient for thee. He said that God gave him that hymn, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he said when he did that, he said he leaned on the jail cell door and the door opened. He said they didn't even lock him in. He said he just walked and he didn't get out, he said, because the door was locked. All the other doors were locked, but he said he got to walk in and he just walked. And he said the Lord told him that his grace was sufficient for him. And he met him there that night and he took care of him. And he didn't lose his mind and he was fine and God blessed him. What happened? Satan came to sift him. He came to attack him. And that's where Satan comes, is to attack your mind. Remember Christian when he was in the Giant of Despair's castle? Remember he had thoughts of dying? Thoughts of suicide, thoughts of dying. Some probably, who knows? And then when he was going to the Valley of Shadow, some of those thoughts weren't even his. That was Satan attacking his mind, shaking him. That's what this means, to sift you. To sift you as wheat. That's what it is. Yep. He wanted to shake Peter's faith like he did Job's, right? He wanted to agitate him to see whether anything of faith would remain, or whether all would not be found to be chaff, or merely natural odor, a false profession. He wanted to see if he was real or not. That's what he comes to you for. But I want you to remember something. Satan only comes to sift the wheat. He doesn't sift the tares. He doesn't have to. He already has them. They're his. Do you understand that? He only comes to sift the wheat. That's the purpose. Now remember that. Right? That's how Satan attacks the children of God. He desires that he can have us so he can sift us as wheat. Remember, those two are so close together, the wheat and the tares. Remember that? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. See, the wheat's going to the barn. But Satan shakes it now. But the reapers are going to pluck up the tares later. Right? The reapers are going to come in. They're going to pluck up the tares. They're going to be shaken up. Only they're going to be shaken out. You understand that? They're going to the fire. But the wheat today, now the wheat is agitated. He has no other enemies but you. The whole world is his. He has a lot of help to shake you up. Yep. He has a lot of help to shake you up. He answered in verse number 37, he answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed of the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. Into a furnace of fire there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You may get shaken now, but you ain't going to be shaken out. God is able to make you stand. Amen. See, the trials prove who the wheat really is. Do you understand that? That's what they do. Those that go under trials and they curse God, walk away and say, give up on this life. And by they are offended by the word and they're done. And they leave. Well, they were tares. They weren't the wheat. The wheat is the one that gets tried hard. Right? It gets shaken. It gets sifted. Sifted! The trials prove who the wheat really is. Satan doesn't have to sift the tares. He planted them. He knows who they are. He's the planter of them. He doesn't shake the tares up. He shakes you up. He shakes the wheat. Amen! Look in the Bible what the Bible says about wheat. Good things. Right? Amen. He agitates their mind and shakes up their faith and plagues them as much as he is allowed to, but to make them look like all the chaff. That's what he does. By covering the wheat of grace with the chaff of sin, the chaff of sin and corruption, or to destroy the wheat if it was possible, or to toss them to and fro as wheat is in a sieve, that is to afflict and distress them. Yeah. You know, you'll catch on sometime, and when you catch on, you'll be like, oh, that's why that's happening. You'll catch it. You will. And then you have some peace that comes over you. Like, oh, okay, that's my enemy. That's who that is. That's not God. That's not God's voice. That's not what God has commanded. That's not what God says. That's not my loving Savior. That's not the one who died for me. That's not the one who gave it all for me. That's not him. It's an enemy. And then you'll fight. Then you'll fight. Amen. You'll fight then when you figure out who it is. You don't got time to lick your wounds. You got to fight.
Amen.
The fight is on, O Christian soldier. He afflicts them. He distresses them by scattering them both from Christ and one another, by filling them with doubts about Jesus being the Messiah and Redeemer, and by frightening them with the fears of enemies and of death. Right? Yeah, I mean, if you're not careful, you'll think that's your Father in heaven. God must be doing this to me. No, God might be allowing it, but he's allowing you to be tested and tried in the fire. Why? To burn off the dross. See, Satan's goal is to shake you because he thinks he's going to shake you out into hell. That's what he thinks he's going to do. And all he's doing is the work of God by shaking off the waste. Because you just get closer to God, and the closer you get to God, his burning light burns off all the dross. Because he is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. And the closer you get to him, the more you see your impurities, and you shake off those impurities, and they are burned off, and God's hand is working in your life, and God's power is working in your life. And just like he thought Job, oh yeah, I got Job, man. And I got Job. Look, I took all his kids, dropped his houses, dropped the house on his kids, had all his servants taken, all his money's gone, filled him with boils. Right? Yes. Discouraged him, had his three independent Baptist friends come by and accuse him of everything under the sun. Right?
Yep.
Man. Got him. No, you didn't get him. All you did was make him an example of God's grace. For us today to glean from and to get strength from, to say, hey, if Job got through it, I can get through it. I have the same God Job has.
Amen.
Amen. Simon, he's going to shake you up and down. That's what Jesus said to him. That's what Jesus was saying to him. Simon, he's going to shake you up and down. He's going to agitate you fiercely. And Simon didn't understand what he had coming. Peter did not understand. Neither do you and I. We don't understand.
No.
When it comes. That's why Peter said, think it not strange, that fiery trial which is to try you. Peter's like, oh, don't think it's strange. If Peter was sitting here with you right now, he would say, now look, the same thing you wrote there, don't think it's strange. But you're going to have a lot of crazy things happening. Man, I'll tell you what, sometimes before God would show me things, sometimes I'd feel like I was nuts. I'd be like, man, there must be something wrong with me. I'm going nuts or something. This is crazy. And then all of a sudden, God would send me something. Like that message today, like other things like that, when I'm reading and studying all these preachers talking about the trials that they went through, what God had brought them through, the devil sifting them and shaking them up, and all these other things happening. And I'd be like, oh, it's not so strange. It's actually very common. It's actually very common. Simon, he's going to shake you up. But what a warning that you and I have been given, that Satan is coming to sift the wheat. If it's not being sifted now, he's going to come and shake up your mind.
Yep.
You may be at peace right now. Praise God. Man, that's great. Wonderful.
Wow.
Hope it stays that way. But you know what? He's going to shake you up.
Yep.
And what a warning it has, what he's given us. I know not when he or his devils will come to attack your faith, but mark it down, friend. He will. He will. But just be of good cheer. Because it's what he does. And God warned you. He will come to attack you, and he will shake you and agitate you. He will shake your whole world up at times. His goal is not to purify you, as the Lord has a fan in his hand, right? No, this is Satan trying to destroy you. Here, note that Satan has his winnowing winds of temptation and his temptuous winds of persecution for the sifting of God's children. But note farther that it is the wheat the good corn that Satan winnows, not the chaff, not the dross, not sinners that are all chaff and nothing but dross. Satan will not be at the pains to sift and winnow them. He doesn't have to. But what is the sifting? In sifting, two things are performed. Number one, agitation. Sometimes Satan will agitate you with things that you're not even tempted with. He's just agitating you with it.
Yep.
Like just throwing things in your mind, agitating arrows that he's agitating you with. I don't want that. I don't care about that. That's disgusting, or I don't have anything to do with that. That's wicked. That's sin. That's vile. Where's that coming from? I don't wonder where it's coming from. Just cast it down. It's Satan.
Amen.
That's why it's flying. You got to cast it down.
Amen.
Right? You got to cast it down. He's agitating you.
Yep.
That's what he does. Agitates your mind. Shaking and tossing of the corn from side to side. The separation of the corn from the chaff and the dust. Satan intends the former and God affects the latter. The corn is improved, not impaired by winnowing. The saints of God shall be no losers in the end by Satan's temptations. How many and how strong soever they be, in whatever way they be. Listen to me. You're not going to be worse for the wear because of the temptations. No, you are going to be better. Peter was better.
Amen.
Amen.
Sifting cleans.
Yeah, sifting does clean. That's right. And that's what it did. Because it brought Peter to a place of humility. And that's where we all have to be for God to use us. When we lose that, the sifting's coming. Right? Right. Number two, or three, whatever number it is. The sifting is to destroy your faith. That's why he's doing it. See, Satan's major attack, his main attack is on your faith. That's his main attack. You have to understand that that's the only reason he attacks you. He wants to attack your faith. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants you to doubt your sanctification. He wants to doubt you to doubt God's work in you. He wants you to doubt everything. So, let me ask you a question. Where does doubt come from? And who gives the spirit of fear? Satan. So then, would it be safe to say that it's not God that's wanting you to doubt him? Or your interest in him. It would be Satan.
Amen.
Because God commands you to believe him. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't believe him unless he placed his truth inside of you.
Amen.
Do you understand that? You couldn't believe him anyway if it wasn't for the faith of Christ. Do you get that? You would have no interest. You would have no care. You'd have no desire. You would have nothing. Do you understand? You'd have nothing.
Right.
It's God that puts that in you.
Amen.
Right? Who is the author and finisher of our faith?
Yes.
He is the author. Right?
Amen.
He is the originator. And he is the finisher, the completer of our faith. Do you understand that? It's all of him and none of you.
Amen.
Amen. That's good, because when Satan comes to sift you, he's sifting your faith. He's coming to destroy your faith. God, when he purges us, he removes the chaff or the weights that slow down our race. He burns off the dross or the impurities so that we can be pure gold. He purges to make a new lump. But Satan is the opposite. His only desire is to attack your faith. That is his desire to destroy your faith. He has to. He hates it. He wants you to have no faith. He wants to see if it's real. That's what he wants. Is it real, or are you gonna go? Are you gonna go home? Pick up your blocks and go home. Is it real? If it's real, if it's from God, it endures. Do you understand that? It went from God, it endures. And he doesn't like that. So if he can shake, up, agitate you so much that you're afraid, and you get, and he gets into your mind, and he makes you afraid, and then he lies, and then he throws every bout of wickedness and doubt and fear, then he believes he will win, because he wants to destroy the good ground. He wants to make it barren. He wants to destroy your faith. His primary attack is always on your faith. That's why when you go through those times, you're like, you start to doubt. Because he's attacking your faith. That's why. Because that's what he has to attack. Because faith is the victory. Amen. Faith is what overcomes. Right? His primary attack. To fill your head and your heart with unbelief. To maximize any unbelief you have in your heart. Because everyone has some.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everyone has some unbelief. Yep. If your heart was 100% full of belief and faith, you'd move mountains. Right?
Yep.
And sometimes we can't move anthills. Right?
That's right.
So you must resist him steadfast in the... Oh. Why? Because he's tried to fill you with doubts, and you have to resist him steadfast in the faith. Faith. What does that mean? That means you got to stop blaming God. That's what it means.
Amen.
You got to know that God brings you through trials. He hasn't disowned you, but he's brought you through trials, and that's not a reason to doubt him. That is a reason to trust him.
Amen.
That's why he brought you through the trials. To build your faith. Next. Why does he desire to attack our faith? Well, number one, because we are justified by faith. Our justification is by faith. Right? We are not justified by repentance. No. Although everyone that's been justified is repentant.
Amen.
But we are justified by faith. Amen? It is true that no man is saved who is not repentant, but faith is what saves. For by grace, it is God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. He attacks our faith because it's how we are justified in the sight of God. God's grace through faith. He also attacks it because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's stop there for a second and think about that. If without faith it's impossible to please God, does Satan want you to please God?
No.
No, he does not. He does not want you to please God, so he does not want you to exercise faith and fight that dirty old serpent.
Amen. That's good.
See how that works? Very simple. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently!
Amen.
Diligently. Spurgeon said faith is a nourishing grace. This makes sense, because if faith is weak, then we will not love. When our faith gets tested in the fire, many times our love has waxed cold. When our faith is strong, we love because Christ loved us. And we are to add to that chain link of faith all the other virtues. Next to this, Spurgeon said, Satan attacks faith because it is the great preserving grace. The apostle says, above all, that is over all, covering all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Right?
Amen.
Well, even if my faith, if I'm not exercising faith and my faith becomes weak, then I don't quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Right.
Right. You get beat up.
Fear.
And you get full of fear.
Yep.
Right? You get full of fear. And then you don't fight. You turn your back and try to run.
Yep.
And then you get whooped even worse. Right?
Yes, sir.
Then you get whooped even worse because you quit fighting. You don't take out that shield of faith.
Amen.
You got to use that shield of faith. Right? Above all, over all, covering all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Sometimes the Eastern soldiers had shields so large that they were like doors, and they covered the man from head to foot. Others of them who used smaller shields nevertheless handled them so deftly and moved them so rapidly that it was tantamount to the shield covering the entire person. An arrow is aimed at the forehead. Up goes the shield and the sharp point rings on the metal. A javelin is hurled at the heart, but the shield turns it aside. The fierce foe aims a poisonous dart at the leg, but the shield intercepts it.
Amen.
That's the warfare that he's talking about. That's how vicious the devil is. Virtually, the shield is all surrounding, and so it is with your faith. As one has well said, it is armor upon armor, for the helmet protects the head, but the shield protects both helmet and head. You have the helmet of salvation. You have the sword of the Spirit. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have your feet shod, but guess what covers it all? Faith. Faith. The breastplate guards the breast, but the buckler of the shield defends the breastplate as well as the breast. Faith is a divine grace to protect the other graces. There is nothing like it. And therefore, I do not wonder that Satan attacks faith when he sees its prominent position and its important influence in the entire town of man's soul. Above all, it quenches all the fiery darts, all of them. He attacks our faith because we are able to stop him through faith. Spurgeon went on to say this, I cannot help saying also that I wonder not that Satan attacks faith, because it is the effective or efficient grace. You know what a wonderful chapter, that 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews is. It is a triumphant arch erected in honor of what? Of faith. According to that chapter, faith did everything. It quenched the fire, stopped the mouths of lions, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, received the dead who were raised, and so on. Faith is the soul's right hand. Faith works by love, but still it is faith that works. And you can do nothing acceptably before God unless you do it by that right hand of faith. And faith is obnoxious to Satan. He hates it because God is pleased with it. So Satan hates anything that God is pleased with. As Spurgeon said, when it comes to this shield of faith, he said, be like the young Spartan who would either bring his shield home with him or be brought home in his shield. Do you understand that? I'm either coming home with my shield or you're going to bring me home in my shield. But I'm going to trust God no matter what. And I'm going to cling to Jesus Christ by his grace no matter what. And I'm not turning around. I'm not giving the back. I'm going straight forward. That's the fight of faith. And that's what we have to do. We have to. We have to. So what do we do when Satan sifts? Well, when Satan sifts, we must pray. Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, who got in trouble? Peter. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Have you said that? You know, we always want the affliction to end, but we never want to drink the cup of it. We don't want to drink the whole cup of affliction, do we? I don't want to drink it. Drink ye all of it. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith, let him sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, it is he that is at hand that hath betrayed me. We are to pray without ceasing when trials come. When they come, pray. But Jesus warned Peter that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. He He said, Peter's coming, or Jesus, or Satan's coming for you, Peter. Right? That's why he said, told Peter to get thee behind me, Satan. Satan was right there. That was influencing Peter. Because Satan hates self-denial. He absolutely hates it. Right? He hates it. We are commanded to call upon him, and he will answer us and show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we must call on him. We need strength in trials, and that's why prayer is a must. Prayer is so vitally important. Have you prayed today? Have you spent any time with God today at all? Have you given any time at all to the Lord today in prayer? Or have you found something else to busy your schedule up today and not prayed? Have you prayed? Have you earnestly and fervently sought God's face today? Are you going through trials and the day is hard and the day is long and you have so many trials and you can't figure out what to do and you're discouraged and you're down and Satan's beating you up and you're being sifted as wheat? But have you prayed? Have you sought God's face? Have you been on your face and poured your soul out to God? No. Not good. We are commanded to call upon him, and he will answer us and show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But you don't call, and he don't answer, because you don't call. Right? Prayer is so vitally important. It is our privilege. Do you realize that? Do you realize that God hears our prayers? That the God of the Bible would take the time to listen to your prayers? That your God, your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ intercedes upon our behalf? Do you realize that? That we have boldness now to enter into the holiest of all, and the reason we enter in is because of Jesus' blood? That our prayers go up? And that God Almighty hears them? And you don't give them. You don't pray. Could you not tarry 1 hour? Could you not pray 1 hour? Could you not spend any time in earnest prayer, in fervent prayer, in firing, boiling prayer to God? And you're going through afflictions and your mind is tormented. And you're going through everything and you don't pray. You're looking for another way out of it. You're looking for man to give you a way out of it. You're looking for circumstances to change. You're just waiting for the tide to change. You're throwing it all on fate, so to speak.
Yep. Right.
And you don't pray. It's commanded that we earnestly, fervently seek God's face in afflictions and in the night watches. When the sun is shining up on the mountain and when we're in the dark valleys. We're to pray with faith and nothing wavering. But then what is the underlying backbone of the child of God's prayers? Here's what I really want to finish with tonight. When Satan comes to sift it as wheat, what are our prayers to be? And what is the source of strength we draw from our prayers? Let's go back to the beginning where we're at here in Luke 22:31. Because the last point I want to make here, I think it's the last one. Maybe I have one after that, but we'll see. Christ's prayers are the strength of our prayers. Do you understand that? We have a sure hope. Look, I want you to listen to me tonight. If you catch anything tonight, if you don't listen to the agitation of Satan that you've experienced and I've talked about, well, I mean, I probably don't have to spend too much time on that anymore because I think you probably understand that a little bit better now. And you probably experienced some of that anyway. So if that doesn't move you tonight, may this move you in Jesus' name. We have a sure hope that in times of trial and temptation, and when Satan comes to sift us as wheat, that Christ's prayers will hold our prayers up and we will be strengthened. Amen. Do you understand that? This hope is that sure hope. It is not the hope of the world, but it is that sure and steadfast hope. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Man, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. But I have prayed for thee. I know what Satan's coming to do, but I want you to know one thing. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Yeah, that's actually going to be the last point, sorry. That thy faith fail not. Look at what Christ said to Peter. He said, look, you're going to get shaken up. Look, Christ never said that you weren't going to get shaken. Do you understand that? God, don't let Satan agitate me. Well, I don't think that one's going to happen. You're going to get agitated. It never says anywhere that God's going to stop that. Right?
That's right.
Until it's due time, in his time. But God doesn't say you're not. Notice he's saying your faith. He didn't ever said that your faith wouldn't be shaken. Did you see that? That's what you and I want, though. Lord, I just want that feel-good feeling all the time. You know, I never want that shaken up feeling. I never want that fear. I never want that that testing of my faith, that trial, that heat, that fire, that burning. I don't want that, God. I don't want that. Well, you signed up for it. It's too late. You can't go back.
Amen.
You're getting it. So you do one of two things with it. You like it or you lump it. But either way, you're getting it. So all that you and I can do is pray. Amen. But listen, your prayers are guaranteed. Look, he said that word but there. Now many times in scripture that can be a bad thing, that word. But not here. It's a great promise. It's a great consolation for shaken soldiers. It's a great consolation for the wheat that is sifted. He said, you will be shaken up terribly, Peter. And he's coming with full force of temptation against you. And trials will abound. But I have prayed for thee. Number one, the care that Christ had for Peter and in him of all believers. I have prayed for thee. For thee. As a believing Christian, and for thee as a tempted Christian. And it is not said, I will pray for thee. Notice this. It says, but I have prayed for thee. Already done.
Amen.
I'm going to show you where that is, but he already did it. He already did. Don't you get it? So your prayers to God for you to have protection against Satan, and that you would not fall, that you would not be shaken out, that you would be strong, that he would strengthen you and give you grace through the trial, have already been answered. Amen. But you were commanded to pray them. Amen. To seek God with all your heart. Christ prayed for Peter before Peter understood that he had need of Christ's prayer. Christ prayed for you long before you ever knew you needed it. Do you understand that? Christ prayed for Peter. Christ prayed for Peter as soon as ever Satan desired to sift Peter. Our intercessor is full and speedy in his suit for us, as Satan is in his accusations against us. As fast as Satan is accusing you, Jesus is interceding quicker.
Amen.
He has desired, but I have prayed. He is a powerful assailant, but thou hast a powerful assistant. The subject matter prayed for, that thy faith fail not. Not that thy faith be not assaulted. That's what you want. That's what we want. Look, Lord, don't let my faith be attacked. That's not... Look, can I help you? Because I want the same thing. Zach, I'm not lying. I want the same thing. I do. I want the same thing you want. I want to say, I'm never going to get attacked. This is great.
Yeah.
Great, right? Isn't that what you want, Brother Ryan? You don't want to get attacked by Satan, do you? No. Brother Giannis, you don't want Satan to attack your faith, do you? No, you don't want Satan to attack your faith, do you? You don't want it. No, of course not.
Yeah.
But that's not what he promised. He didn't promise he wouldn't assault our faith. Oh, no. He promised us he was going to assault our faith. He is coming for you. But I have prayed for you. Right?
Yep.
He said that thy faith fail not, not that thy faith be not assaulted, not that thy faith be not shaken. I don't like my faith shaken. I don't like when doubts come. I don't like fear. And I don't like, well, nobody does. Right? But he didn't promise it wouldn't happen. He said it was going to happen. So if it happens to you, guess what you do? Man, this is strange. No, it's not. No, it really isn't. You're a child of God. He hates you. Jesus promised. Satan's coming for you. And he's going to sift you. And when he does, I have prayed for thee. That thy faith fail not. That thy faith may not fail by an absolute and total deficiency. Oh, it'll get rocky. It'll get shaken up. Yep. Mm-hmm. Christ has prayed for him. He said, Peter, you're going to make it. Because I prayed for you. That thy faith fail thee not. Peter, I've prayed, and your faith will not fail, but you'll be victorious because of my prayers. And you and I are told to follow the apostles and those that went on before us. And you may think to yourself, but has Christ prayed for me? And can I claim that hope and promise? Can I claim that victory over the serpent when he comes to terrorize my faith? Can I claim that victory? Because if you showed me proof of that, I would have that same hope that when trials and temptations come to me, I have a sure promise of victory. Well, you do. Turn to John 17:13. John 17:13. Because Christ prayed a high priestly prayer for you. John 17:13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now listen, here it is. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. That would be you. That would be me. That's the promise of God. He said, Jesus prayed, right? He said, I pray not only for them, but for those that believe on me after their word. Amen. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. And that means we have a sure promise that our faith will fail not, because God is able to preserve our faith through all the trials, through all the heartache, through all the pain, through all the doubts, through all the fears, through everything. You see, Christ's prayers for our perseverance through all trials and through the awful sifting of Satan is a sure thing for us. How this should drive you and I to pray for strength. Because God's promise is fulfilled through our prayers based on the foundation of Christ's prayers. Doesn't mean, well, Christ prayed so I don't have to. No, that's not what he said. You have to. Right? Because God's promise is fulfilled through our prayers based on the foundation of Christ. So then it makes you and I go to our knees, run to our prayer closet, because our prayers to be preserved will surely be answered and our faith will fail not, because Christ prayed for our faith. He prayed for us. And if you have repented and put your faith and trust in Christ, then upon the authority of scriptures, you can lay hold of the same promises, and you ought to. And shame on you if you don't. Shame on you if you don't. You and I, it is incumbent upon you and I that we do claim those promises. That we do live that way. That we do trust God. that we do believe what Jesus said, and we don't call him a liar, but we believe what he says, and we chalk it up to all the doubts, the fears, and everything else, that I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. And it is because you are lazy that you don't go to him and seek his face and get the strength that you need. That's why. And that's why you don't have it, and that's why you get sifted and you get cast down. So why would you be lazy? You have a sure answer to your prayers in trials and tribulations. When Satan comes to sift the wheat, you will hold up under the shaking. You will not fail. But you will be able to hold up because Jesus' prayers are always answered. His prayers are always answered.
Amen.
And your prayers are based on the will of God, that your faith will fail thee not. That is a righteous thing to pray to God. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You're going through trials right now, and Jesus said, that's what he said to Paul, the same thing. No, Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, I've prayed for some things before and said, Lord, please, just take it away and make it stop. I'm not going to do that right now, but my grace is sufficient for thee. You'll get through it. And Satan hasn't knocked you off the plain path of duty. He hasn't been able to stop you because I'm in you and I've given you and I have overcome the world. And you keep going. You keep serving me. You keep trusting me by grace through faith. And you keep going. You keep moving forward. You keep driving towards heaven. You keep violently taking by force. And keep going. Keep moving. Amen. But I want it to stop. Yeah, well, it's not gonna. But my grace is sufficient for thee. And it drives to trust more. It drives us to pray more. So why would you be lazy in prayer when God says if you pray anything according to his will, he will hear it? When Satan comes to sift you and attack your faith, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because the Father always hears the Son that his prayer and his prayers for us. Now then, knowing all this, that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities and was all in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and that he ever liveth to make intercession for us, we must never forget the last part of this verse. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, this is the reason that many trials happen. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, your faith will not fail, but I expect... Yea, I command you to strengthen your brethren when you have been made whole. When you have been converted from your error. Peter was already saved. It wasn't that Peter was lost. Peter was in error. Amen. He was in error. Man, but he denied Jesus 3 times. He couldn't have been saved. Well, how many times have you denied him? Right?
Amen.
How many times have you in your life denied him?
Yeah.
Huh? How many times have you and I ignored the Spirit's wooing and his movement in our lives and in our hearts and resisted him? Many times. Many times. When you are converted from your error, Peter, when you're converted, Peter, because you will be, because I've prayed for you, so that when you are humbled and broken and restored, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen those around you. This is one of the reasons for God allowing Satan to sift the wheat. Because God holds them up and humbles them. And they grow in experience and hope. And then they can look at another poor, weary pilgrim and assure them of the same hope that they have.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You're going to be able to see young Christians someday after you've been through some trials. You're going to be able to say, look, I know what you're going through. Seems like it's never going to end. But I assure you, this too shall pass, and God will strengthen you, and he will hold you up, and he will get you through. God, I believe God puts his preachers through enormous trials. I believe he does. I believe he allows Satan to sift them like he did Peter. I believe he allows him to sift them really good and hard. And I believe that. And I believe God allows it for a purpose and a reason, to keep us humble and to keep us submissive and to keep us seeking his face and running to the cross and running to Christ for strength and for mercy and for guidance and for strength and for wisdom, and not to lean on our own understanding or not to get proud or arrogant, but to be humble and to seek his face. And then so we can help others. So we've been through some things and we could say, look, I know you're hurting right now, but God will take care of you. Amen. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, yeah, we're suffering, but our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul says, hey, look, if I'm afflicted, if God allows affliction in my life, if God allows things to happen, it's for your consolation and salvation. Amen. Right? Paul understood that. He learned that. I'm learning that. That's the purpose. That's the reason why God does some things, why he allows some things to happen. There's more than one reason for it, of course. He says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. We have a duty that when God has comforted us in our trials, that we remember our brethren and love one another and comfort them with that same comfort, that we encourage them. This is love. We should be ready to show it to all that are in need. This is how we come alongside others and cheer a weary pilgrim on the narrow road to the celestial city. This is how we pick up we lift up those that are stumbling, right? We give them a hand. Those that are limping along, we give them a hand. When their head is bowed low and they can't look up and they're so distraught and in distress, this is how we come alongside them, put an arm around their back and say, listen, brother, brighter days are ahead. You see that yonder light? Keep heading for it.
Amen.
Keep heading for it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep moving. Keep going. Even the feeble ones make it.
Amen.
They sometimes go over a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Amen. It is a sure thing that if you believed on Jesus Christ, the Lord, they are, and you are on the narrow way and his evidences are in you. When Satan comes to scare you with thoughts of infidelity and to question the Bible and to confuse them and magnify their faults or their lack of understanding, that we can say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't understand it all, but I believe everything he wrote. And God said it, and I'll just cling to my book until he takes me home. Then I will know all things. And Jesus prayed for me that my faith would fail not. And it will not, because Jesus' prayers are always answered. What consolation we can give others that are struggling and hurting and confused. And we make it simple for them. And they will be encouraged. And God will reward us in heaven one day. Amen. That the intercession of Christ gives security, satisfaction, and encouragement to all believers. That through their faith, that though their faith may by temptations be shaken and assaulted, yet that it shall never be finally vanquished and overcome. That lapsed Christian, when recovered and restored, ought to endeavor to restore and to recover, to strengthen and establish others. Trust the Lord. One day, we who have will all walk the streets of gold. And we will never remember the sifting of Satan and how he fooled us. But we will see his demise and rejoice evermore. Amen. And praise that Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. We will praise our hope, our consolation, our Lord, and our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave so much for us. And we will worship together at his feet. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Amen.
He is worthy. He is worth it all. Christ is worthy. Father, help us, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you more than ever. Lord, I know there's folks here struggling with things. I know that Satan's attacking their faith. I know they're full of fear and doubts and worries and concerns and the cares of this life and other things. And Lord, I just pray you'd strengthen your children. Build them in their most holy faith. Father, please help them to know that the sifting and the doubts and the fears and the shaking and the agitation and the attacks on their faith are from the wicked one, to try to see if he can knock them off the narrow way. But, oh Lord, thank you for praying for us that our faith fail not. And help us, Lord, to strengthen our brethren every day. Oh Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice on Calvary. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for shedding your blood and making atonement for my sins. Lord, please, may we never forget it. Burden our hearts. Break our hearts for lost people. Break our hearts, Lord, that we would seek thy face. Help us now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.